I could not really imagine what kind of clothes they were. I did not have the impression that I had worn any in my life. Of course, I did not care about fashion either, because I had of course noticed how differently people dressed here. While some were dressed as they had been in their human lives, others wore long robes that they dragged along the ground, so to speak, which, in my opinion, seemed anything but comfortable, not pretty either, and certainly not pretty at all. So I couldn't imagine why they were dressed so differently. Of course, it also became clear to me that not only people who had come from Europe lived here, let's say, there were also some who came from other countries, and so I thought that their clothes were perhaps adapted to their former country. So there were all kinds of people here. There were not only those with white skin, but I also saw Chinese, Japanese and Indians. Everything was represented, everything. Everything could be seen. Their clothing was accordingly different. In my life, I had not known much about it and had not been interested in how people lived here or there and how they dressed. It just seemed very uncomfortable and strange to me, the way they ran around in this world. So I would have wished for something better or nicer clothing for myself than what I was wearing, because I couldn't remember to have worn such a garment in my life. But now, this was not the main thing. First of all, I was interested in the surroundings, especially in these fellow brothers and sisters. I saw people who were going on processions, so to speak. They had a kind of crown on their heads. This was supposed to imitate the crown of thorns. But it was not a crown of thorns, but rather, as I saw it, something woven from rods. They wore that on their heads. They too were wearing strange garments and in their hands they carried a cross they had made themselves. There was quite a number of such beings, and they walked past you praying, murmuring actually, and you had the feeling that they were in great devotion. That's how it seemed to me at first. Then someone called my attention. Someone next to me said, "Look, those who are coming. They claim to be the penitents. They now want to do penance publicly in this world. They want to show others that they have lived wrongly, but that they are now ready to walk around in penitent clothing and the sign of this crown, as a sign of their devotion to Christ. They also want to use the cross to make others aware that they feel connected to Jesus Christ and now want to do penance. And so they are putting it on display, so to speak." That is how it was explained to me. But I did not have the impression that they were really doing penance, because they seemed somehow strange to me. Then, what I observed in particular, what struck me, was, when these penitents walked through somewhere where there was a gathering of beings, they slowed down their pace, so to speak, and wanted to draw attention to themselves. And there was always something that was interesting to observe, because you could see a lot of beings here. Some were sitting on the ground, others were leaning against a bush, others were able to support themselves in some other way or were walking around freely, but they all really had their worries and wanted these penitents to help them. For example, I observed a male being who was complaining and moaning about what he had left behind on earth, what treasures were now left behind, and it was a shame that he had not sold these treasures and donated the proceeds to good causes. He was very sad about it and grabbed one of these penitents by his clothes and said, "Come, I want to talk to you. You want to be a penitent? Maybe God likes you more than me. Maybe he will listen to you first rather than me. I beg you, can you not give me some advice? Or can you perhaps pray for me so that I can benefit from your prayers?" And so he wanted to stop him. Then I experienced the first disappointment with such a penitent. He said to him, "I have no time for you, I have to do penance myself. And you must do penance too, you can follow us, but I can do nothing for you," and then he went on his way. He did not seem to me to be a pious person who would give such an answer to a suffering person who was asking. Of course, I immediately noticed that I was not in a world of happiness. There were many who always had something to complain about, something to moan about. I went to this male being afterwards and asked him what valuable things he had left behind. Perhaps we could both do something together that could mean progress for both of us. But he was only interested in himself and told me what valuable paintings, What a valuable house and how much gold and how many goods and so on he had left behind, and now he could not profit from them at all, nothing at all, and that was the worst thing. If he had known or even suspected what was waiting for him, then of course he would have done something completely different with his possessions. I said, "That's just the way it is. I didn't know what was waiting for me. If I had known, I would have behaved differently. I wouldn't have gone to the pub so much, I wouldn't have gotten drunk so often, and I wouldn't have been so quick-tempered." I answered him and left him again. I thought, there's no helping him, there's no helping me either, and so I just went on my way. Then I heard someone moaning again, and this time it was a woman. She complained that she was in pain and could not move. If she could walk, she would immediately follow these penitents and do penance in public. But these penitents were not interested in her either. They did not take her with them and did not support her, even though she was still in so much pain. I said to her, "I think it is only your imagination that you still feel pain. I also had various pains in my earthly body, but now, in the spiritual world, the earthly body is laid aside, and in the spiritual body one no longer feels any pain, that is only imagination." "No," she claimed, "that was not imagination, she could not walk, she was still full of pain." Now I said to her, "Yes, then pray that God helps you and that your pain subsides." I certainly have no more pain, and as a human being I had some too, but nobody here has pain, that is only imagination. But it was no use telling her these words. Then I met another brother who was also not in the best of circumstances. He also complained and moaned. But he said to me, "At least I can have hope." And then I wanted to know what kind of hope he had. "Yes," he said to me, "I must now live for a while in this wretched world with these wretched brothers and sisters, but it will not be long before I will be saved." I was interested in how he could be saved. And he said, "You know, I have at least one pious wife who is still alive on earth and she prays for me. I know that she prays for me because she always told me during her lifetime that she would pray a lot for me if I were in the world beyond before her. Because she felt compelled to pray for me because I had sinned so much." So this brother said, "My wife will save me, she will pray so much for me that God will have mercy on me." Then I said to him, "Then it is good for you. I do not know whether anyone is praying for me. But I also do not know whether your wife's prayers will help you. I have the feeling that you have to do something yourself here." "No," he claimed. He didn't have to do anything for his salvation, because he was convinced that his wife was pious and would pray for him day and night. Well, I left him behind and thought I would visit him again later and ask how his salvation was going. And so there were so many who hoped for help. But they could not expect any help from these so-called penitents who proclaimed that they were public penitents. They had not even given anyone a helping hand when someone asked for help because they were not making progress, they did nothing. They were only focused on themselves and claimed that they had enough to do for themselves. The eye of God must be on them and they must become pleasing to God by doing penance in public. In this way they also made their transgressions known. They walked one behind the other in rows, and everyone spoke to themselves like a litany about all the wrong things they had done and how they now hoped and expected God's grace and mercy, that Christ's blood would cleanse them of all sins, and that as a sign of their Christian devotion they would carry the cross on their shoulders and the crown of thorns on their heads, and so on and so forth. They spoke like this and kept walking back and forth. There was a lot of interesting stuff to experience, as I already mentioned. Brothers and sisters from other countries, from other peoples, were also here. Everything was mixed up. So I said to myself, "Well, they were no better than they were with us or when I was, and God will definitely have mercy on us one day." But one thing was clear to me, in this world, which belonged to God, one was subject to his power, that a different law applied there. We didn't have to earn money, we didn't have to work. And that was actually what I was missing. I wanted so much to do a job, I would have loved to do something where I could still express my skills. But there was simply nothing to work for. The way I needed it and the way I felt that I could have produced something useful and beautiful. No, I just felt like an unemployed person, and this feeling of not being able to work or not being allowed to work at all was oppressive to me. I didn't agree with it. Yes, I would say it was definitely the same feeling that people have who want to work but can't find work, and therefore don't earn anything. And that's how it was with me. I had no work and I couldn't earn anything. I didn't want to earn in the sense that people do. I didn't want to work for money or goods. Instead, I sensed, here in this state, it's about a different kind of income. But this seemed far away to me. So I felt like an unemployed, useless being. I couldn't work, and if you can't work, you can't earn anything and you can't get rich. Because it was clear to me, where we lived, the whole of heaven wasn't gathered together, but perhaps, I thought, it was for me, purgatory in one station. It was clear to me that it was not purgatory as it was presented to a human being, as a fire in which one was purified and so on. There was no fire here. It was understandable to me that it was simply a stage of this purgatory and that I was now in this purgatory, figuratively speaking, as it had been made clear to one in human times. It was not hell, that was understandable to me too, because we were not doing badly, nobody had bothered us, so it could not be hell either, in my opinion. It was simply a purification. Well, I paid attention to my surroundings. I wanted to become a little wiser from it, because I observed what the others were doing. Because I assumed that there were some who had certainly been in this purification for quite a long time. I had to realize that there were very different beings here. While some seemed very unhappy to me, they were moaning and it seemed as if their bodies were hurting, others were even cheerful. And while some were badly dressed, I had encounters where I was actually amazed at how good they looked. And so I thought to myself, yes, they must have acquired this clothing or their good looks somehow, they must have done something to make them look better now. Actually, they were together like a family, but everything was so different. So I once approached one such being who I had the feeling was different from the others, because this brother who was standing in front of me was dressed quite neatly. I started a conversation with him and asked him whether he had been here in this sphere for a long time or lived at this level. Then he replied, yes, no, actually, because he was only there temporarily. He still had acquaintances here and visited them from time to time and gave them some news. Then I asked whether there were any acquaintances of mine there. He said he couldn't tell, but after all, he said, we could become friends and then we would be acquaintances. Yes, I immediately agreed to start a friendship with him, because I had the feeling that this was the first person who could finally give a correct answer and who also looked completely different from the others. Then I asked him where he came from. He replied that he had been here before, and said it straight out, I looked just as bad as you back then. Yes, and how did you manage, I asked, to be different now? Yes, he said, you have to go exactly the way you think you are. Ah, I knew it, you can't work, as I suspected. But you have to help others, you have to help the weak. You have to be interested in the person who complains that he has left so much behind, you have to talk to him. And you have to talk to the woman who complains that she can't walk, you have to show her understanding and love, and try to guide her. And you have to talk to the person who claims that his wife prays for him day and night so that he can attain his salvation. I had suspected that, and here I got confirmation. Yes, he said, you are looking for work, you feel like an unemployed person. But here you don't work in the sense that you had to when you were alive. Here you have to turn away from that desire and do something for the spiritual. You have to practice tolerance, you have to live in understanding with others, you have to try to build up love. So it's not about a craft, but about a spiritual activity. Then I asked him, so you were interested in the spiritual and then came out of this stage in this way, did you do that? And he answered me, yes, I did that and you can do the same. But I keep coming back here because, as I told you, I still have many acquaintances here, and I will now encourage these acquaintances, just as I told you that you must do. Yes. He promised to become my friend. and I asked him to bring me some news. I told him that I had my parents and friends and other acquaintances here, but I had no connection with them at all, and I would really like him to pass on a greeting from me to my parents. And truly, he then passed on this greeting. But before that he also explained to me how he would do this, how he would find my father. He said, "I will simply turn to the High Spirit to whom you are subject, and he will give me permission, he will show me the way to your father. And, in general, I would find him anyway, because you are still spiritually connected with your father, that is, you still have the thread tied to you from your parents to you, and I can follow that if I am allowed to enter where these threads lead. But I will first obtain the permission of that leading spirit, because I do not want to do anything wrong." I told him that my father had also been here at this stage at first, he had told me this, but now I assumed that he had ascended a little further. And that was the case. This friend then left me again, and I began to take an interest in others. Up until then I had not actually done this because I believed that there might be another way than talking to each individual. Because I must say one thing, the trade that I practiced during my lifetime was a noble trade, and we associated with noble people accordingly, that is to say, noble in the eyes of men. That is why it was difficult for me to associate with everyone here, I would like to have mentioned that. But then, after a certain pause, the friend came back to me and brought me greetings from my father and mother and explained that they would pray for me. I thought, so people pray for me too, and I asked, can they do something for my salvation with their prayers? Yes, he said, of course they can. If this prayer is accepted by the angelic world, they can come to you through it, spirits of God can cheer you up, they can tell you that you should now work a little harder in your ascent because your parents are waiting for you. They give you news, and that is not through a being like me, but through an angel. He has much more power and his word is much more powerful. Yes, my parents would pray for me, yes, I hoped that this prayer would really be of benefit to me. But then I began to devote myself more to all the brothers and sisters, I began to take an interest in each one and in his personal suffering. I listened to them and tried to give them the same explanations that had been given to me, that you just have to try to understand the other person and that you have to do spiritual work and then you can get out of this stage. But it was my desire to improve my appearance. This friend kept coming to me. And it wasn't long before he brought others with him and introduced them to me as his friends. They also offered me friendship, so I already had a good number of friends who I enjoyed more than those penitents and those who stood around, sat around, moaning and groaning. But these many friends were interested in them and tried to help them and show them the way. They advised me that I could improve my appearance through my spiritual activity. As a first reward I would receive a different robe, a better one than my current one, which was so dark and still so dirty, I would have to make sure I got a better robe. That seemed understandable to me, I didn't want to always go around in the same robe. They also explained to me that you don't just have one robe, but you change it, you put on a beautiful, festive robe when you go to a beautiful party or when you pick up one of your loved ones, then you also adorn yourself and make yourself beautiful to show that you live with God, that it is beautiful with God that you receive these beautiful things. So I had to improve my appearance first. I hoped that I would then receive more respect from the others than with this robe that I had. And so these friends promised to help me, I would definitely receive a robe, but I would have to earn it. And then they wanted to choose a task for me, I was to go to the brother who claimed that his wife was now praying for him day and night and that he himself had nothing to do. I was to dissuade him from these thoughts and I was to try to pray together with him and really, really do it. And I did that, but there was a lot of back and forth talking. It was not so easy to convince him that his wife's prayer was not necessarily of any use to him now, that it would only be effective if he prayed too. If he himself was willing to pray and had become insightful and realized that he had done so many things wrong in his life and that compensation must be made. I had a hard time dissuading him from his thoughts, because he did not want to believe that he himself could do anything with it. but finally he realized that he was not getting any help. I kept telling him, if the prayer that your wife prays for you please God immediately, it would have an immediate effect. But you see, it has no effect, and it will have no effect until you change yourself. Finally I managed to get him to stop saying that his wife was praying for him and that he himself had nothing to do. He realized that he had to do something for himself first and foremost. And so we both became friends, and I then stood by him and got him to pray and to adopt a different attitude. As I could, as I was taught, I passed it on. And so I received my first reward, which consisted in being able to take off this garment that was so foreign to me. I had never owned such a garment in my life, and I didn't want it either, because I didn't like it, and so I received another garment as my first reward. It wasn't as beautiful as the garments of my friends who visited me, but I could be quite satisfied. Now the others had to see that I was no longer a newcomer, that I was on the rise, because things were a little better for me now. And so I was happy. But the friends kept coming, and they didn't just visit me, but many others too. Each time they gave me a different task and said, if you can fulfill this task again now, then you will get another reward. Then we will prepare the way for you to get out of this stage, we will help you to get out of there. That was what they promised. And they looked around again to see what task would be of the greatest benefit to me. So it was always the same thing, you always had to look after the other person, you had to comfort the other person, try to get rid of the human thoughts that were still attached to them. And if you succeeded, then you knew, yes, you will be given credit for that. And so I did it. I tried to look after all the siblings who were around me, I tried to help wherever I could. And so it was explained to me that the way was now clear, I could leave this sphere, I could get to my parents and could now be with them for a long time, as long as I felt the need. We were then separate again. Of course, when the one who was most eager to pursue higher things left that sphere first. Because once you have fulfilled the other tasks, you can leave that level again. So, of course, I was happy about this advancement. But now I would like to explain something about these penitents who were walking around. I had considered it necessary to enlighten them too and to say to them, look, it is of no use to you if you walk around in your penitence robe and the way you do, you must offer a hand to the other, the even weaker one. You must try to comfort and guide this even weaker one, you must not say to him, I have no time for you. So I fulfilled my task with them too, but I was not at all successful in convincing the whole group of them. I tried it once with one person, then again with another, and sometimes I did gain something, there were always some who became aware again and, so to speak, saw the futility of their actions. They had to experience that they were not helped by it, and so they either placed this so-called crown on someone else's head or simply threw it away. They saw that it was useless. If one could then dissuade someone from their idea, then one had again earned a smaller or greater merit. Of course, other beings always came to the conclusion that they could only attain God's favor on this path of penance, and they then found their connection with these penitents again. And when I was then allowed to leave that level, I experienced that many had left it, but just as many had joined it again. And so there was always work for all the brothers and sisters. But it was not the work that one felt one had to do or that one desired, because one was still too closely connected to earthly desires. One wanted to do the same work as in human life, because one was still so encumbered with human thinking, and one had to try to get rid of this. So I was with my parents, and we were in a kind of mutual competition for merit, father and mother and I. And so our tasks became more and more difficult. Our merit was that we were allowed to leave this level and enter another, higher one. And so we went on, and new tasks kept coming up, but also a new life. The higher you were allowed to go, the freer your life became and the more beautiful your surroundings. You were given more independence, so you could act and make decisions on your own. Of course you had to keep going back down, you had to keep offering your hand to others. That went on for a while, until I reached a certain level with my parents and the other siblings. Then these higher beings, who had assigned us the tasks, explained, "Now the training begins. Now 272, you must be taught the plan of salvation. You must get to know the whole order." Yes, now school began. We had now, so to speak, completed a practical course in understanding and helpfulness. We had overcome many, many of the vices that we had brought with us from human life. We had helped ourselves to heal our souls through serving others and were now able to overcome so many reprehensible feelings. Before we started school, we had been in loving service to others for a long time. We had become clear about this. We are in the state of God. Grace, goodness and justice reign here, but order and conscientiousness also reign here. A strictness was also expressed. And so I worked my way up with many of my brothers and sisters, and so we were purified from level to level and reached this point where the gates to schools were opened to us, where we were taught about this plan of salvation and order. Here we learned about the return to human life. Here we learn the spiritual laws, that everything is fixed and there is service to one's neighbor, that one must give another a hand and pull him up, and that then each one is given as much instruction as is expected of him, so that he can understand it. For not everyone has the same power of thought or, perhaps I can say, the same intelligence. This too is a question of development. Accordingly, in addition to spiritual purification, one is then led to these schools, where one is taught the simple order of God and another a higher knowledge. Everyone is given what he is able to absorb and put into practice in a later life. That is how it was for me, that is how I ascended, and that is how I attended the schools. I went to the temples with the angels of God to worship God and sang and prayed in his honor. For through the prayer that one says, one shows one's belonging. The more intimate, the deeper this praise of God is, the more the belonging to his kingdom, to his family is expressed, according to his development, according to his inner strength, according to his needs. So I have reported to you, dear brothers and sisters, about my return home. And so I leave you under God's protection. Greetings from God. End of the recording. Edition from the first publication in the magazine Geistige Welt. Afterwards, Spirit Teacher Joseph was asked for more details about the spiritual connection between former relatives. Matthews reported that it had been explained to him that there was a thread from him to his parents that a spirit being could follow. Joseph, this refers to the Adband, the kinship Adband, which has its own special color and imprint. The higher a spirit ascends, the more the color of this Adband fades. It dissolves, because it no longer has to express so clearly that one was the earthly father or brother, because this loses importance, because other connections keep coming in between. Of course, the relationship between one and the other can still be determined on this band, however, it is no longer as clearly defined in color and clarity as it was in the early days. So do the family ties fade away over time? Joseph, not a fade away, no, the family relationship represented by the Adband does not fade away. But the further a spirit ascends, the more it loses importance. Anyone who still takes care of it can use this Adband to follow up on all previous events and still determine them. But the higher you climb, the more important things come to the fore, namely what helps you to move forward. Now knowledge of these previous relationships is no longer so important. It is no longer so important to know who this person was or what kind of parents you had. With progress, very different things have become more important. Other events have occurred which overtake the old and make everything from earlier times uninteresting. One is only interested in the last because an infinite number of family ties converge. Dear Joseph, you once told us that we also have spiritual parents. Is there such an Adband with them, or does this connection only exist again when we are more highly developed? Joseph, everything can be seen and read in one and the same bond. However, the Adband with your spiritual parents is not particularly expressed during your human existence. It is not essential for you now to know who your spiritual parents are, but other things play a role now. Other things are more necessary to know for your ascent. In this Adband, One thing will still overshadow the other, and what is significant will shine out.